Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
And we're off.
Good morning, everyone. It's a brisk morning, isn't it?
It's lovely. Yeah,
it's really beautiful. Nice.
We're all happy to be out.
It's golden.
It's into the morning.
Shiny and cold.
Morning, Pass gentlemen. The garage. All right, mate.
So we're heading north from my drum, Newington Green. And we're going to go through Clissold Park, but not round and round it for a change. And up past the old Woodbury Down Nature Reserve, Finsbury Park, Highbury Field.
Don't run across the bridge.
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to run across the bridge and try and find someone
because
to have a row
the birds.
With. Very good.
Because of the noise.
So, this is... I'm going to get a picture of us coming up the alley. Can you hear screaming kids?
Nice. Screaming children have just seen us.
It's not my daughter.
The men! The men! The running men!
That's a little bit too real. This is, yeah, my... still my daughter's school, but...
Okay,
fantastic. No longer any of the other children. Get a picture. I'm going. It was quite good. Here we go. So, ask me about my shoes.
I've noticed those shoes.
Yeah.
What's the story? I've never seen you in them before.
Well,
what's
these. I now own four pairs of running shoes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, none of them are any good.
Right.
Well, these are good.
They look quite kind of bouncy, traily sort of.
They're my trail shoes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I got them for my mountain running in the summer.
Yeah.
And then...
Why don't we just take a quick pick of them?
I think I've just got them.
Have you?
All right. Action shot. Look at that. Oh, no, maybe not. Who knows? Certainly look like a nutter. Running along. That's a technical term, nutter.
Yeah.
It's the running nutters. Miss.
So.
So you got them for the mountain run this summer, then?
Yeah, and I had those Nike Lunar Eclipse, which I'd sourced on the internet to match my favourite ever shoes.
And they didn't work out for
you? They're no good. They hurt my feet.
Right.
So I started using my old... Asics.
You went back to basics.
Yorkshire. Woo. They're a bit old. They hurt my feet.
Right.
So
all your trainers seem to be hurting your feet.
Yeah, and you've got to jump. You know, you can't wait around all the time for perfect conditions, you know. So I went out in Birmingham last week.
Right.
And tried some on and found some more Asics. They were slightly more expensive, actually, because they're all like one weave.
They're so
tried
expensive.
Tried them on the running machine.
Yeah.
I thought these are good. They're interesting because they're a half size smaller than my usual size.
Okay.
But they seem really great. Bought them, wore them for a run, and they nearly killed me. If I want to become a geisha,
those are the shoes.
But now I've run in them, you know.
Right.
They're ruined. They're basically.
Yeah, you can't
take
them
sit
back.
In the cupboard, yeah. Costing me the best part of 150 quid for the rest of time.
What size are they?
9.5.
Right. Well, surely that's a shout-out.
Yeah, anyone who wants a really nice pair of Asics, size 9.5.
What kind of Asics? Can we remember? Are they just expensive Asics?
Yeah, they you can tell they're good ones because the colours are horrible.
So are you willing to do those at a discount? a running commentary discount.
No, I want them like for like. I only want once. I think there's a running commentary shoe. They probably appreciate it.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, I'm in these trail shoes, my red Salomons. Which are light trail, they're not like heavy.
Right.
I did briefly own, though never wore some trail shoes where it was like, they were basically like snowshoes, like two planks of wood with trainers sellotaped on top. These are much lighter than that.
Cool, yeah, I like them.
Turns out they're the best shoes I've got.
Oh, look, that's fantastic.
Which is a bit of a shame.
Are they quite light? They look quite light.
Yeah, they're not bad at all.
I bought myself a new pair as well.
Whoops. Bit of excitement behind the reversing car near Cliss Old Leisure Centre.
We've got a bit of a train off because I'm modelling some new trainers as well this morning.
Right, I'm going to get a picture of those. Tell us about them.
These are my... Should we get a static picture?
Okay. Right, all shoes in that case. I get mine in this one. Ooh!
They're my Brooks.
They're Brooks, right?
They're Brooks GTL's turbo diesel.
Did you make up that name or is that a real thing?
I don't know what they are. But the Brooks, I tell you, it's so vacuous why I bought them. I bought them because I saw some bloke at London Heathside who wears them.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'll just have them. They look really comfy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's really good.
And when you look at shoes,
so maybe if I'll wear them, I'll be really good.
Yeah, yeah. He's that bit where you said they look really comfy, that was a fib, wasn't it? It was just because you wanted to get the shoes from the good guy.
I was tempted to get those really big, cushiony hockers.
We've just come into Cliss Old Park, look at it.
It's really nice, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
Have you seen those hockers? They seem to be the ones that are...
I've seen that. Is that Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller, Meet the Hockers?
That's it. It's a prequel to Meet the Fockers, the Hockers.
Okay.
But I think all the ultras
isn't
are wearing...
Is it what the New Zealand rugby players do just before the...
Some of them do the hocker. Some of them wear hockers while doing the hack.
Isn't it what I was doing during my cold this week?
I noticed when we went for a run with Chan, she was wearing a hocker. Right. They look incredibly comfortable, but really built up heel. They look a bit special in the kind of...
You mean a bit medicinal? A little bit.
Yeah, they look a little bit kind of built up.
Yeah.
But I've heard nothing but good things about them. So if anyone's
like the
wearing
ones Bart Simpson has in that episode, remember he goes and gets all his treatments.
Yes, just like that. And apparently, they're just massively popular. So I'm quite keen if anyone's got a bit of
massively hocker
feedback about the the hocker, because I'm always I need good cushioning.
I've also had Mizuno's recommended.
Yeah, Mizuno. But look, my last pair. Well, you get your trainers, and hopefully, if they're all good, you can use them on rotation. Unfortunately, yours, none of them are any good.
No, that's right.
But the ideal is to have a few rolling, isn't it?
No, if I had one pair that were really great, I would chuck all the rest, just so I get out of the habit of using them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't chuck them and recycle them, but you know.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, my ideal would be to swap mine. Maybe someone say, I've got some really nice shoes, but they're just slightly too big for me, size 10. You know, like Swap Shop.
So this is actually... become a call out for a running commentary kind of swap shops, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you're... Are you touting these ASICs out for a
Yeah,
kind of
I mean, I don't think we should include Noel Evans in this.
No.
Because apparently, what's he done? Release an album of music for plants. I don't think I want to interact with him.
But
So, by the way, we're coming straight through Cliss Old Park. We've come through it, come down it, we're going to leave it again. Gorgeous though it is. We've been around here enough times, haven't we?
So give us feedback if you're wearing... hockers while you're listening to this, because I am interested in
I think it was Dave
phenomenon.
Williams said about the Mizunos, and right. I was looking at them in a shop and they look really good.
Yeah, my
but I'm done now because I plumped for my ASICs and they don't fit and I spent my money and that's that.
And you found these?
Yeah.
And they're Solomons. I've heard good things about Solomons as well.
Yeah, very wise.
It's great, isn't it, that there's all these trainers.
Yeah. What's I going to say?
I'm feeling quite good
about trainers. I'm not, I mean...
Tell me.
This is nice to be out, but I've been
ill. You've been ill.
Yeah, because I said, your listeners will remember, I said, right, I'm going to take first 4 weeks of November, which of course is the massive majority of November.
Yes.
I'm going to stop drinking, take it easy on eating, do a steady exercise.
Yeah.
Try and maybe lose a couple of pounds and get fit.
Get a base fitness.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my buddy said, what's that? Taking a bit of a break. And I took on board a massive cold. But
your body just collapsed with it?
Just went. It just let me down. And it was also really hungry cold. So I just, for a few days, I was like, I can't, I just need so much food. Just put it in, skipping runs, weighed myself. It was not a happy weighing.
Right. He wasn't great on the weigh.
Okay. I don't know if
these,
you can...
These scales, right?
I don't know if you can really...
Darling!
Have you been fiddling with
have
the...
Have you been with the kids?
It's been on this
the calibration. Because it was like a... It was like about... I did the weigh-in ahead of the hell tip.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be a bit steep. But I was like, maybe a pound over my usual weight. It was great.
Yeah, that's fine. That's nothing.
And then in the week to the next weigh-in, I weighed myself on a Monday. I put on half stone. I think, I mean, I don't know if that's even possible.
It's amazing how much weight...
It must have been actual
you can put
just
on over
chips.
The weekend, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Just by scoffing and not exercising and... But are you still not boozing?
Not boozing.
Well, that's great, mate.
Yeah, but it's annoying because, you know, it's supposed to stop me late night snacking.
Yeah.
Take away calories in itself. Plus, you know, we don't need to dig too deep into the state of the world. But put it this way, on Wednesday, I did consider getting drunk.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's did a lot of people. But maybe... I wonder whether your body didn't let you down, but maybe your body was trying to tell you something wrong. Maybe you've been pushing it too far.
Away from alcohol.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what is that when you stop doing stuff and then your body gets ill anyway?
I know.
What is that about?
Absolutely. Well, more prosaically and slightly, you know, I think I don't want being a vegan to be weakening me. And I really feel like over the year that it hasn't, you know. I felt great in that marathon and...
Yeah.
And, you know, eating well and feeling fit. But I worry about my immune system. I've been looking at what, in particular, what vitamins and things you need to keep the... Obviously, it's vitamin C and stuff, but you need your vitamin D and your
right.
zinc and stuff like that.
And do you get that in your vegan diet?
Well, I started taking a supplement, and I'm also just trying to eat well and stay diverse.
Right.
But I do think it's a bit of a fallacy that, you know... Beef is the only way to get fit, but on the other hand, it's a really good way of getting, for example, iron. You know what I mean? So, but I didn't eat beef anyway, so...
So how can you get your iron in the vegan diet? What do you eat?
Green vegetables have it.
Yeah.
Spinach and broccoli, but, you know, they don't have it like a cow does.
No, no.
We're just by the first lake, by the... oh, look, cormorant overhead. See that?
See, that's they look beautiful. We're getting into a bit of nature now. I'm feeling quite loose, actually, for the first time in... couple of weeks.
You think
you're not so stiff? I just feel
fully recovered.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you done any running this week?
I did a short run on Monday. Then I did an incredibly difficult track session on Tuesday. My first one for about 5 weeks.
Give us the rundown. What did it
that left me. It was a club session.
Yeah.
It was. They call it a pyramid session.
Right.
Which is not as hard as it sounds. You don't actually just build a pyramid.
Yeah, you build it. Then you die, and you go inside it for 5,000 years.
Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Thanks.
You do 1,600 metres.
Yep.
Then 1,200. Then 800. Then 400.
And then you drive your mum's old 1,100.
And you do two sets of that.
A little car, bit of car comedy there for Carfest. Look at that. Have you seen this? Sorry to stop, but my goodness.
That is beautiful, yeah.
If that doesn't end up on Instagram gorgeous. By the end of the day, I'm really not sharing this thing, right?
And I kind of... I held it together during the first set, and then during the second set, I had to just miss a couple of laps. I just couldn't do it. I hadn't done it for a while.
And where do you sit? Are you kind of somewhere sick. In the middle of the group?
Somewhere in the middle of the group, yeah.
Yeah.
But not as quick as I was before the marathon.
Yeah.
You just lose that speed endurance really quickly. But it was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
No, it's
but
testament to
hard work.
To running that when you leave it... You immediately feel it fall away. I think that's a sign of any good exercise, is that when you don't do it, you lose it.
It's a tad frustrating. I mean, in terms of endurance, I always feel that we could go out and just run 15 miles.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But running 5 miles quick is a bit different, isn't it?
It's the alternatives, isn't it? And it just goes to show how strengthening those things are. Because I have that also. I totally agree with pace, with short, fast runs. But it's the same with other exercises as well. Press-ups and sit-ups
right.
and planking and things.
They're tough,
you warm up, they're great, and then the moment you don't do them, the next time you do them, your body goes, no, you said we weren't doing those, so we left those skills
behind.
Yeah, we stopped
doing those. Because some people, after a marathon, they don't take a month off like this kind of... They kind of... you know, they'll run a race 2 weeks later, or they'll be, do you know what I mean? It's just something they do, but I kind of take it maybe a bit too epically. I don't know. I just think, I really need a rest after this.
Well, I think if we're totally honest with ourselves, I think we think of ourselves as being very steady and pretty fit, and from a point of view, we are. But we're very bust and boom.
Yes, we are.
We like to go at it really intense and then leave it.
And then come off.
Drink and not drink.
Yeah.
Eat beans and then eat pies and pies and pies and pies.
You go vegan, I go vegan. Or the other way around.
Everyone goes vegan, I think. Yeah. You just say vegan. But that's fun for all of us. Here we are, crossing from the West Reservoir to the East Reservoir. Hoping there's someone here to
bit of a tricky border, that one.
Not to run.
Still open, as we... We run past it. Here we go. This is where we...
Oh, there is someone there.
Let's see whether she has a word, right?
We don't want no trouble.
Try running, but...
Pull a face. Pull a face.
Expect confrontation.
Do one of your faces. He's worried about it because there's a lady over there, see?
I'm going to try it.
Gently. We just go gently. Hey. Oh, not right now, but thank you.
Thank you.
Our members allowed to run.
She actually didn't say anything.
No, she invited us.
She invited us to join.
That's nice.
That was really nice.
This is the wonderful Woodbury Wetlands. You'll have heard us talking about it before. It's so good. The mighty David Attenborough opened this place, which is pretty impressive.
What a nice woman that's what she's doing this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
That's she's just standing out in the sun.
There is hope in the world, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Look at these cormorants over there on the island drying themselves out. See them?
Yeah.
It looks like Jurassic Park. It's really good. I'm going to zoom. See the cormorants in the middle there? That is something. Did you watch Planet Earth 2 the other day?
I didn't, but my kids said. I heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, it was really good. Incredible TV. And I was wondering if that kind of thing hasn't got a bit more simplistic than...
Talk me through the show, then. It's Attenborough.
Attenborough's gone around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, take a theme each episode. They do this thing now, you know, where they obviously... It's very kind of post-internet, very meta.
Right.
Where they've got this amazing, amazing nature footage where they have to watch them for ages and get them filming. And then at the end, they've got the diaries that show you how they got them.
Okay, right.
So... What, are we? Are we?
Are we going?
No.
Come on, then, you got your trail shoes.
All right, you're right. I've got my trail shoes. We should take the Woodland Trail. He's not wrong. So, you know, so they're much more, they're beholden to be honest.
Yeah.
In a way that they didn't used to be. You know, everything has to be true.
Whereas there's no faking it.
Yeah, whereas those old Disney films, you know, the one where the elephants got drunk.
Right.
They basically made it up.
Okay, cool.
Pushed the lemmings off the cliff and all that stuff. Anyway, I think in spite of that, and it's really amazing TV, right, event TV, but it is very, it's still anthropomorphic, do you know what I mean?
He's making you're on the side of sort of thing.
You make these animals who are parents, you worry about them, the ones that are predators are the baddies, you worry about the kids.
Right.
It's all very, you should be quiet because this man's having a brilliant quiet time.
Yeah, actually, he's talking to me. I thought he's meditating, but he's actually chatting to someone.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to take phone calls while I'm meditating. I don't think that could be
some
there.
Kind of guru type figure.
That's right. We would have worshipped him.
I think he was just barking about markets in Slovenia. So go on then. Sorry,
thank goodness I had my trail shoes as we leave the Woodland Trail.
That was pretty tough trail. Nice little diversion. So go on, talk me through this.
So you
start to emotionally identify with the animals.
Yeah, and then when you watch the show, it's vignettes, you know, like there's a brilliant bit the other day about this sloth who heard a female sloth, but she was across the water, so he swam across, amazingly like a human, with his cheerful little sloth face.
We love sloths, though, don't we?
Oh, yeah, and then got to the other side and found... A female sloth, but it was the wrong one. I had a baby already. And it's like that, you know. And I don't know. When I was little, you know, what was it called? Life on Earth.
Yeah.
And then The Living Planet. They were a bit more education, weren't they? A bit more academic. Like Civilization and the World at War. You know, it came out of that 20th century TV.
You feel it's a bit too managed.
Yes.
A bit too after an emotional response kind of thing.
Yeah, a bit
too twee.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's really good.
Right.
A glib is, you know, because that's sort of negative. I just think that it's, they've gone all in for that, you know, right. For the emotional resonance.
Right.
And it's, as a result, it's less informative and a little bit harsh, you know. Watching it with the family.
Yeah.
There was this stuff about crabs, and there's ants that have colonised the edge of this island. The whole show was about islands.
Right.
And these ants were brought there by man. And the crabs have got no defences because they haven't evolved to deal with them. So these crabs heading back to the sea to have their babies. These ants come.
Right.
Squirt acid into their eyes.
Yes.
And they focused on this crab. Confused and disoriented. It died.
Right.
And then the ants ate it. And they kind of focused on this crab and talked a little bit in a quite an oblique way about how it was people's fault and stuff. Daisy, daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, she's crying.
Oh, no.
She was so sad for this crab. And I just think, and I feel... And it's very... I'm like a dad animal on the programme defending my young.
Yeah.
I saw she's been emotionally manipulated into that.
Here we see Deering in his natural habitat.
Yeah. Protecting the young.
Protecting the young.
And she cries and cries and cries.
Realities of ant infestation.
The crab on the telly.
Yeah.
Because there's no way back. It was depressing. This crab got done over and it had no defence.
But wasn't that real nature, though?
Yeah.
Wasn't
that
sort of educational, but it's a bit too tough.
It's nature red in tooth and claw, but you kind of think, how many other, you know, there's plenty of little animals dying out there.
Yeah.
It's an isolated incident.
Okay, so we've come around Woodbury Down. We're picking up the little stretch of, two little stretches of canal. Absolutely gorgeous, but... We should watch out for substance abusers.
Yes.
And other such. But
luckily, we have the duck patrol to take care of us in case it kicks off.
These ducks, my lord. It's a mallard, my lord joke's terrible. Thank goodness I've got my trail shoes. Here in North London, the trails can get pretty tough.
This is my. Listen, I'm not going to belabour the point. This is my first run where I've actually felt sort of pain-free post-marathon, no aches and pains.
Yep.
I feel okay.
I feel fat. I feel like I'm recovering from my cold.
Yes. Yep.
My knees hurt.
Yep.
And I need new shoes. Actually, if I get to the end of this run and my right foot doesn't hurt, there's been some development there. But I think...
It's
medically.
Good to be fat in the winter, though, to warm up. You're gonna, because you always lose weight. You lose weight fairly quickly when
That's easy for you to say.
No, but do you, though?
The fat me is kind of behind the door of every room.
Right.
Waiting to take my life over again.
Do you feel that sometimes? Do you feel a temptation or a psychological temptation to
revert? I think in the cold light of day, it's very unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it will.
It's a bit like being a recovering alcoholic. You can't ever fully let your guard down.
I'll
be on yellow alert forever.
To be honest, it's like me with various substances. It's like...
What, cheese? No, that's me. It was still on me.
Whoa.
Crossing the Seven Sisters Road. It's quite a big road. Although, that's an ambitious milk float. That's not something you see every day in a week. Hey, milk float. Yay!
Yes!
My kids love a milk float.
No, but that sort of... that sort of lifestyle, party lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
Which I no longer do, but a lot of my mates do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of there if you want it.
I think also you
just
kind of
don't want it anymore.
You see the negative, and that doesn't necessarily. You kind of think if there's ever an unhappiness, you know, say you were injured and you couldn't run,
or
something, some kind of setback in life, you worry that it's there. You know, it's like a
come on, Rob,
superstition.
Come on, Paul.
You know, when I run a long run, when I'm in the marathon or something, and you see people stopping, pulling up, you know, injured or whatever. It gives you the fear. It just gives you that sense of what could happen.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen myself at a buffet. I know what could happen.
Yeah, you know where it could end.
Also, at a more basic level, having respiratory stuff makes me feel fat. Because I'm chesty.
Right.
If I get an allergic reaction or a cold, anything that I can feel in my sort of nose and face... tubes. I don't really notice it in my lungs. Instead, I just feel like I'm carrying around this.
It just makes you feel
mighty
a bit more.
Torso, like a barrel. So, because actually, you know, I'm still pretty trim.
That's a great thing when you get really fit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sort of, you just feel like your muscle and
air.
Kind of, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of, there's nothing extraneous to what you need.
Yes, that's right.
It's a really nice feeling.
And ultimately, for me, to be really fit, there's a balancing act. You know, I think I have been, it's hard to imagine, and I didn't see it at the time, Morning Magpie, but I've been below my optimum weight, you know?
Yes.
Certainly in terms of what we want to do with our lives, in terms of doing marathons and things. I've been a lot lighter and less muscular than I was when I got my marathon PB, you know?
Right.
Physiologically, I'm more of a, you know, I should be slightly beefy.
Yes.
I'm more of a...
And you think that makes you a bit faster? But yeah. That strength, that upper body strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I can carry those muscles and fat reserves help me. Probably in another life, I'd have been more like one of those shorter distance bullish, you know, like a tractor.
Yes, yeah.
Running with a guy years ago who couldn't handle the distance, but he was amazing on the hills, you know. That kind of thing.
It's a bit of moment's peace.
There's some Ali Pali over there. There's some great birds. You've seen a bunch of magpies, some more hens up ahead. Sun's still shining. There's more hens jumping into the water. See you later. I think that's all of them, although we might see some more
eagles.
Hens.
Yeah.
You kind of killed my joke there with your eagles.
See some what? Some more?
Some more hens. Some more hens. Forget it. Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, I, in terms of booze, I had a bit of a tough phone call to make over the week, which is very rare for me to have to make one.
What was it?
Well, I'm doing this 10-minute comedy thing with Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. It's a lovely thing to be working on, and I'm writing it, and I'm in it, and it's great.
Yeah.
And I got a mate in to direct it.
Right.
And he wasn't working with him. And I had to ring him and just say, this isn't working. And the truth is, to be honest, he probably felt the same. He wasn't bothered at all.
Yeah, but
because he's like made features and he does loads of stuff and he's like always busy. But here's me massively overthinking it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a call I had to make.
No, it's a real thing. I mean, I think if you don't, dear listener, if you don't walk the same path, those have a similar kind of working life to us.
Which is sort of almost no working life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, with the talent. Did you hear him call himself the talent? It's relationships, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember when I got rid of my first agent who, you know, I'd been with for 10 years and was an old friend, so probably slightly more, you know, of a big... But it's so much like breaking up with someone.
Yes.
It's hopefully the closest I'll ever come to a divorce.
And because we're... Some people, of course, have these chats all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can count them on one hand, the amount of chats I've had like that in my life.
But if you're anything like me, you know you chose this life to avoid that kind of
thing. Yes, because I'm rubbish at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything like confrontation. Yeah. Not that it was, to be honest. He was fine. He just said, yeah, fine. I just created a massive drama.
Yeah, he
about
just
it.
Said, yeah, fine. Yeah, don't fine, worry about it.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm all right with it, Paul.
Do your own thing. But it was just... Here we go. We're going to make it here, now.
Are we? Good. Okay.
And
you realise how much you scared that man on the bike.
Here now.
As Paul said, here now. He was basically shouting into the face of a cyclist who was about to run behind. That cyclist has now soiled himself.
But anyway, after I made have this chat.
That was us crossing green lanes and we're going into Finsbury Park.
Which is really nice.
Obviously. Really nice.
After I've had this
Although I saw a rat here the other day. Yay! More hens. Magpies. Rats.
Life.
So you got drunk after that phone call?
No, I didn't. But what I did is I ordered a case of really nice wine, which has arrived at the house, which, to be fair, is more dangerous for my wife than me. So I need to... She's actually told me to lock it up. She's told me to lock it in the basement and not tell her where the key is.
So
that's going well.
Yeah, she's asking you not to be her enabler, essentially.
Yeah, just lock it up.
Yeah.
I said, I'll leave it round the neighbour's house. She said, no, keep it round the house, obviously.
For when I change my mind.
Really, yeah, for when I change my mind. But it's weird, that, isn't it? It's just like, want semi-tough conversation.
Yeah.
And I've got to get loads of wine in.
Yeah.
I think I've just got to toughen up and get
and
more
I think
normal.
Also that, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we do think of alcohol as being necessary or useful in those situations, and that's probably a bad way of thinking about
it. Yeah, it is. It's rubbish.
I think the main thing I noticed recently was I do think that you do feel our souls are at more risk the next day from alcohol than they would once have been.
Yes.
It's just, you're buying
what
yourself.
What, you talk about the hangover thing?
Yeah, but your spiritual hangover.
Yes.
That lunchtime full of misery.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
That thing of waking up the next day and wanting to phone everyone you know and apologise.
It's that thing of waking up and then, you wake up, you immediately think, oh, this is okay. And then you remember that you're drunk and hungover.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That moment of realisation of like, yeah, oh, yeah, here we go again kind of thing. It does get harder as you get older, I think.
Have you noticed a sort of really good scene in the park? There's loads of people doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's good. There's mums and old people and young people and people exercising.
People working out.
It's a good do.
You feel so much better not being hungover.
Yeah.
You start to value it more, don't you?
Yeah, that's the other thing. See, I think it's the worst of both worlds. I can work up an intense disapproval of drinking, but I can't really relish life without it. So really, I'm damned if I do.
I love waking up not hungover, but also sometimes the truth of the matter is, if you get to bed late after a long drive home, get to bed about 2 a.m, wake up at 7:30, you feel hungover anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely,
so it's just like a natural.
And also,
hangover.
Yeah, Julius said that that if you when you're not drinking, you get better quality sleep. And that's
much
true.
Better, yeah.
But it means when you wake up, it's so hard.
It's hard, yeah.
I'm sleeping so
you're really groggy, yeah.
What a nightmare it is to be us with our cases of wine.
To have to.
Shall I or shall I not have a martini?
Yeah.
And so
Martini
fat,
Monday.
I put on a pound.
No!
Lock up the wine. Don't tell me where the key is.
Just tearing the house apart looking for the key.
Listen, I've met Paul's wife and his impression of her is eerily accurate.
The electrician, what's that thing where the... I need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, let's go this way, it's quicker.
Where the only reason for her to go in the basement would be if one of the... you know when the electricity goes around the house and you've got to go around and put the... What's the switch that you put on? Probably a senior moment. The flick switch or whatever.
Fuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got, so that's in the basement.
Yeah.
So she'll be just faking problems with the electricity now. The flick switch is gone. Where's the key?
I'm not telling you.
As you know.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. Live in darkness.
So we're in Finsbury Park by the lake. I can hear a train revving up to head north. There's a raven sitting on the fence.
I'm and almost tempted to see whether you fancy extending this run beyond 6, but I'm just going to put that out there. You don't have to.
I was in my sick bed.
Because you are coming from back
it's
from
it's Friday, and I couldn't get out of bed on Tuesday or Wednesday, so let's not.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have to do this thing. Right, we're going to go into the loo now. Steve, try and keep the whatever you put on to cover this. Try and keep it positive, keep it nice.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So yeah, Finsbury Park. Watched a couple of good films this week with the family.
What have you been watching?
Watched Groundhog Day.
That's one of the best films, isn't it?
Yeah, we were looking for snowy films that aren't Christmas films. Right. And the cold, because you were saying this cold weather is pretty serious, isn't it?
It has been thus far, but today's quite nice, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about? I know it's not a massive snowy film, but there is the snowy bits in it.
In
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, it's
Frost.
I'm not sure I'm ready to show that film to the children yet.
Really?
Okay. I don't know how. It's not rude, is it? It's not adult. No. I saw the adult cereals in the supermarket the other day. I was thinking, whoa, what are they going to be? It was not quite what I expected. We're just going along the edge of the railway, gently down the hill in Finsbury Park. And we did Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Which is lovely. Yeah, great film.
Yeah, although. Yeah, so they really enjoyed Groundhog Day. They've seen that before.
Yeah.
Bill Murray is amazing. It's a really good film all around, isn't it?
It's high concept. It's amazing, yeah.
Touching. It's really excellently. It can so easily lose you by being too silly or too repetitive, and they just pitch it exactly right.
It's just lovely exploration of an idea, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Yeah, and then, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, I thought they would love, but my aforementioned daughter, she's not as flighty as I'm making her sound.
Right.
She was ill as well, but she just couldn't stand Planes, Trains, Automobiles. He's like, why can't he just get home? First
that's
the crab.
The point.
First the crab, now this.
That's the point.
John Candy was the same age I am now when he died.
Listen, what a great performance.
He was great, so good. I think that
probably
was his.
Probably one of the best films Steve Martin's ever made, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I used to resent Steve Martin for stopping making out and out silly films. But looking back at it now, his more naturalistic, family oriented films around that time are really strong.
I really like them, yeah.
Parenthood, although Parenthood. We haven't all seen Parenthood under the influence of psychedelic substances.
No. That 12 minutes of Parenthood seared in my mind.
I don't think that 12 minutes is in Parenthood.
But I'm sure that was part of the reason why that accelerated me wanting to have kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing Steve Martin's face in Parenthood watching his wife, I think having a child.
Yeah, see, that's not in it.
probably not in it. Or him looking at a child, whatever. The fact is, I was under severe influence of hallucinogenics. Time was fractured, and that 12-minute sequence seemed to last about 3 hours. I found it incredibly moving. Now we're about to get beaten up.
No, we're okay. A little bit harsh, your description of that situation.
I'm actually running too quick for them to get off.
Just a bunch of young guys, Paul. It's a little bit...
Smoking weed.
Smoking cigarettes. In well warm clothes.
Do you not get the smell of drugs off?
No.
I did.
My nose is full of mucus.
So Parenthood's a great movie.
Yeah.
He's got a lovely big old face, hasn't he, Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Very expressive.
That's right. It was quite shocking for my children. We did warn them about the sequence in... I don't know if you remember, in Planes, Trains and Automobiles, there's 1 minute of swearing.
Right.
There's no other... F-bombs anywhere else in the script.
Yeah.
Within the 1 minute when he loses his temper at the car hire place at the airport.
Right, yes, he loses it a bit. Yeah.
He drops 18.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Wow. How did they react to that one?
Well, we warned them, but they were still pretty shocked. It's difficult for them because they've got to carry on pretending to us that they don't hear those words at school every day.
The F-bomb.
Yeah.
See, it's moments like when you say that you don't know whether your kids are ready for Dumb and Dumber that I realise how different our parental things were in terms of movies, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great, because Dumb and Dumber was like, they probably saw it when they were about 8.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, I'm not defending it.
No, not
just
at all.
Like, I never saw it as a tricky movie to show them, but it is pretty racy.
Well, it's just poo, really, Dumb and Dumber, isn't it? And you're always more relaxed about that kind of thing than me.
Well, no, it's more... There's loads of... Well, there's that scene, but that's just funny, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that at any age, is there?
Well, we do tend to watch these films over dinner.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Very funny film, isn't it, Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know. I think I don't love it. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's just that one-noteness, you know? It's a bit like... It's Bad Santa 2 is coming out, right?
Yeah, I'm not...
Everyone loves Bad Santa.
I didn't like Bad Santa.
It's so... Says it's going to be this, and then it is. You know, I like a bit of nuance. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't love Elf, Die Hard.
Elf's lovely, yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're three-dimensional films. Dumb and Dumber is hilarious in places.
Yeah.
But I want to be surprised. And, you know, by more than just jokes, you know, I want to be surprised by where a story goes.
To me, the fact that it's hilarious in places is enough.
Yeah.
Because that's so rare.
But even that, I don't know, I think in comedy I want to be surprised. Like, Wayne's World 2 is not nearly as consistent as Dumb and Dumber. But the funny bits are so kind of, oh my goodness, what the hell's happening now? That if I wanted a curate's egg, I'd watch that.
It's pure performance, Dumb and Dumber, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pure comedic set pieces.
But again, I like it more when Jim Carrey's doing that with a... I prefer the mask. It's like the mask.
Yeah, see, the mask for me was a bit too stylized.
Yeah.
It's different taste, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, Lloyd Bridges was great. Is it Lloyd Bridges?
No, Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels. I thought he was great in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, he's very good.
I love seeing him just playing something
so
goofy.
I think my favourite bit in the whole film is when he's...
Thrust.
...trying to get the girl's phone number and his legs are on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give me the goddamn number! 5555. Yeah, yeah. But ultimately, it's that poo-poo bum-bum wee-wee thing. I do think, you know, we do in our work...
No, but
there are some comedians who do that, aren't there? And it's like, yeah, no, poo and wee and all that.
Because you've just said your favourite thing's a number thing. Then you've got the licking the frost thing. Then you've got the thing at the...
The way he can't handle her is good as well. He keeps punching. The romance is great.
There's loads of good
stuff. What's the soup of the day? What's the soup du jour? It's the soup of the day. Sounds delicious.
When they earn loads of money. There's loads of fun bits.
Yeah, but how much of the running time would you lose if you took out all the snot and poo and wee jokes? Well, okay. I think about 50%.
I think it's a hilarious film. Hilarious. My kids loved it.
I'll show it to my kids.
No, show
we'll
it
laugh
to them
all the way
and
through. And then I'll come back and revise my review. But, yeah. Classic film club, see? You show them films on Wednesdays.
Since
Bake Off finished.
Since Bake Off finished.
Yes, that's
sad,
right. I was doing the... Cutting Edge, the topical comedy at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the news of the week? And this was the Tuesday after the end of the Bake Off.
Right.
And I said, Bake Off! And everyone's going, no, proper news.
Yeah.
Please,
Bake Off!
Serious yeah. post-alternative comedy comedians going, no, the serious news. It's like, guys,
this is the
Bake Off is about as news as you can get.
Yeah.
A quarter of the people in Britain... Watch the final.
Yes.
And that's before you even get to the fact that it's off the BBC and blah, 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 and this and that. You can't see
it. Massive news.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
I've fallen for that before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Okay, so we're just coming out past the Gillespie Road Ecological Park and we're going past Arsenal.
The Arsenal.
And that's who you support, isn't it? Arsenal Football Club. That's right, isn't it?
No.
They're your favourite team.
Not actually, no.
Do you follow soccer?
I love a bit of football. Sport United, my son's a big Spurs fan. So he's not so keen on the Arsenal, but
yeah.
I don't take it that seriously, but I love it.
I did live, before Arsenal moved here,
yeah.
I'd lived not very far from here and I lived even closer to the old Highbury Field. Not Highbury Field, anyway, Highbury. And was funny the way after a game when they'd all come walking past our house, you couldn't tell from the faces of the fans
whether they'd won or lost.
I think that's probably true of a lot of football teams, but it seemed to catch the spirit of Arsenal.
Yeah, they can be a bit moany, but that's the thing that you end up not really going to the football because it just takes up too much of your day.
Yeah.
I think by the end of a game, you just want to get home. You think, what have I actually been doing here?
Yeah, yeah. The blessing and the curse of Arsenal, I always understood, is that they're dull, reliable and solid.
They were dull, they're no longer.
Right. Get us in the sunshine running.
Yes. Feeling good.
You know when I get a picture of Sonny, you don't have to pretend you're running. You know,
feeling so good.
Looking good, Lewis. That's another Christmas film.
Yeah.
I tell you which snowy, non-Christmas film the kids didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
Fargo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a rough movie.
I think
great
I
TV series.
Went a bit far showing it to them. So, we're going to get to Highbury Field soon. And I've got a plan.
Park run.
Exactly. And I've got a plan that I want to share with you. But
on,
the last time I shared a plan with you, it just immediately went out the window, you know. So I'm worried
what
that my subconscious
that?
Is
what
the one of being healthy in November.
Oh, all right, okay.
You know, my body went, yeah, yeah, and got ill immediately. So if my subconscious and physiology would cover their ears, let me tell you this. Once I'm over this cold, and in the run-up to the end of the year, I'm going to do the park run every Saturday for, at least three Saturdays.
That's great.
Just to warm back into, like we were saying, a bit of pace and speed. And
I think you should. Yeah.
Short runs until January.
I'll try and do that. I think that's a great plan. I'll try and do the park run. I'm going to throw something out here that might mess with your plan whilst keeping to the plan.
Whoa! Stop. Thank you.
I try and do the park run whenever I can, if gig permitting.
Yeah.
But just as a training run, isn't it, more than anything?
Yeah.
But I think that we could maybe branch out to Hackney for the park run.
Hackney Marshes park run.
It looks quicker.
Yeah, I'd like to get out there.
Just for a bit of change, to mix and match it a bit.
When I said about doing the park run every week, I'm actually going to be on a little park run tour because I'll be in...
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'll be in Bath.
Yeah.
I don't know where the nearest park run there is.
Yeah.
The first Saturday of December.
Yeah.
I'll be in Manchester. Manchester park run.
Pretty quick.
On the second one, what's that, like something like the 9th, 10th? And then a week after that, I'm in Birmingham. Cannon Hill park run.
Again, that seems like a quick one as well.
Yeah, they're lovely, those ones.
Right. I've never done that one.
Just to recap, by the way, if you're out there in those places, come and say hello. Let's go up this alley. This is the alley that's really narrow, like the one in Mombasa in Inception that Leonardo DiCaprio gets stuck in. There's someone up. Coming the other way.
Oh, hey up.
Watch out for each other, runners. I always find that really stressful. I think we talked about this before. Do you remember the opening titles to Record Breakers? And Roy Castle was stuck in a narrow corridor with a fat bloke.
Right. I don't remember it yet.
I still have nightmares about that.
He was a real clomper, that bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had a clomping style.
Yeah. His feet just kind of went trump, trump, trump. Oh, you weren't going to talk about it.
Did you see those pictures of him meeting Obama?
Yeah, I did.
Bet that was a laugh. He looked suddenly like he's realised what he's taken on Trump.
Yeah, someone did a comedy tweet saying, did they say, yeah, what about that thing where you said I wasn't born here?
Yeah.
also, the tweet went around about somebody went for a run or a walk and in the woods and bumped
into Hillary
Clinton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she said, leave me alone! And she didn't. She was nice.
Just having a walk to forget about it.
That's the house in Four Innings and a Funeral.
So we did a gig last night immediately post-Trump, didn't we?
We did.
It was quite a decent atmosphere, actually. Trump was dealt with, but not massively. You felt people didn't want to talk about it too much.
No, as is often...
There's a few comments about it.
This is often the case in comedy. I think that the fundamental crossfade in comedy is when there's big news, you think, oh, it's what everyone's thinking about. It's the same as social networks. Oh, it's what everyone's thinking about. And then when you go out, everyone's just thinking about their day and their lives.
Things, yeah, they want it to be dealt with, but not
I think even
fixated on.
Even people who are really caught up in it, they still ultimately feel some relief that the world carries on turning.
Yes.
That you're still going to prepare meals for your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Get through the day. And so far, nothing's kind of collapsed or ended. We'll see. And yeah, people did. There was some addressing it in the gig, but not much, wasn't there? It's that kind of thing with comedy. You have to kind of show that you know
what's going. You've got to show willing, yeah. You've got to show you're in the world, yeah.
That's right. And that's the widest thing with comedy, actually. It doesn't really matter about the news. I just think if they get the idea that you're not engaged with them, that the audience get a sense that you're not there in the room thinking, this is this date and I'm here to entertain you, they quite rightly disapprove.
Yeah, you definitely can't come on and start doing bush jokes.
Look at this. Yeah, they don't work at all. Look at this path. Should we go across there? You run. I'm going to get you. Look at that. That's perfect. Beautiful. There he goes. Highbury Field. Recommended. Arms in. No camp arms. Come on. Not that I disapprove of camp arms per se.
Nice.
I've got this video in my running song of me running up here with a flying V guitar on.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Great days.
So this is the scene of our power crunch.
Yeah, which you want to betray.
No, I want to keep it as part of the roster of runs. I'm just intrigued by the possibility of something a bit swifter, because the lap thing here, it does your head. It does my head in a little bit.
Yeah.
Five laps. Yeah. It's a bit lappy-lappy, isn't it?
Absolutely. I don't mind two laps. And I quite like a slightly messed with two laps to make it fit.
Yeah. But the people here are lovely, actually. Yeah, they're really friendly.
Oh, it's a good scene.
They're friendly everywhere, aren't they?
That's
every park runs amazing, isn't it?
I think for me, I haven't done a park run I haven't loved. But they are... It's been a job of work admitting to myself that being at the start line... At 9:15 at what, 5 to 9 on a Saturday morning is a tough appointment to make.
It can be, yeah.
I have enough trouble running out at 5 to 9 when I got up at 7 and took the kids to school, you know. I mean, I'm still kind of not ready for it.
But when then the flip side of that is by 9:30, you've got a fast run under your belt and you feel great.
Yeah, and you can go back to bed.
Yeah. Just it's all done and dusted. It feels lovely.
Yeah, it's true. So, Bath, first weekend in December. Manchester, second weekend. Birmingham, third weekend. And we'll get to Hackney before or after that.
That'll be nice, yeah.
Let's do it. And come back here.
It's that thing of trying to maintain some fitness through Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tricky, but it's funny how running does change your Christmas a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes.
As opposed to the absolute slob fest.
Yeah, yeah.
To slob fest with the occasional run.
I remember.
But you're just eating less, yeah.
Yeah. That's right. It sort of draws the circle around it. Oh, I'm going to have a lovely big meal today, but I won't go too crazy, and my next run is in 36 hours. You know, it's a good way of thinking about things, really. I am a cider drinker. I am a cider drinker. Before we had kids, me and Julia came here and had lunch like a winter picnic on Christmas Day.
Nice idea.
We're up on a bench just up here
nice
on the right.
Nice and romantic.
And this woman came running past us. It must have been, you know, 2 o'clock on Christmas Day. Woman out for a run. And from here, I think I'd go, oh, nice one. Maybe she got shoes for Christmas or whatever. But at that point, we were going,
lunacy.
Ease up.
Yeah.
What the hell are you playing at?
Lunacy.
It's Christmas.
This guy, though.
That's great, isn't it? That's dancing.
She's having all right life.
Absolutely. We totally approve.
She's having all right life.
Yeah. She's doing like dance aerobics on her own with headphones on Highbury Field.
And a real dance vibe.
I'm not taking a mickey out of that.
That seems great.
I said go for it. Dance in the sunshine.
It's quite nice having a run on Christmas Day. I used to do it. It just gets...
I bet you did.
It gives you that space though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To get out, you know.
Yeah. But it is easy to imagine just someone thinking, what?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, of course.
If you ever want to get into that insight of the people, you know, the audiences, for example, seem to be made up of who, when you say, ever been for a run, they're like, that's a bench, by the way, that's the bench I was talking about, just taking a picture of that. Isn't it lovely? It's really good here at Christmas because the houses are so posh. Sparkly, sparkly stuff. Yeah, when you meet people like in the audience and you say, so, do you run? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
And that Christmas Day feeling is a good way of empathising with that perspective. I think also there's a shift right across the culture that people are actually a lot fitter than they used to be. Like, loads and more people are members of gym than they ever used to be.
Yeah.
And generally people think, there are just many, many more people thinking, I should do regular exercise.
Well, there's a lot more movements to get sober and get fit during months like November or Stoptober or Dry January. Yeah, yeah. Virtually every month now is a kind of let's not booze.
I don't approve of people getting sponsored to not drink.
No, I don't. I think
that's a bad sign.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's a sign of a culture that assumes we're all alcoholics.
It's like I'm a hero because I haven't had a drink.
Exactly. That's not a healthy way to think about yourself as a culture. I've been to Chatham. Sorry, Chatham.
Having said that, I haven't had a drink for a few days.
Yeah, well done.
Can I have you got a badge?
I'll just give you a tenner.
Some kind of plaque.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of why should we... I don't know. Don't get me started on the... on the ridiculous sponsorship thing.
Well, it's ultimately, in the wider scheme of things, people do need to be careful to take a look at themselves, don't they? You know, it's easy and almost reasonable to lead a narcissistic life, a life centred on the self. You just got to keep an eye on it, you know?
Well, especially with the social media thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And also, to be fair, for some people, it's a start of actually getting fit and changing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some people need a kickstart, don't
they? Oh, yeah. Anything for charity is good.
Yeah.
Anything that makes you make the decision, that's right. I mean, I think in terms of health and fitness, you know, anything that makes you flick the switch and make the change.
Make that change.
And two, anything that gives you a plan, you know?
Yeah.
I mean...
those park to 5K, sofa to 5K things, they obviously really work, don't they?
Absolutely.
I've chatted to so many people who've done that.
The other day the kids were saying, what's going on with the Stone Age diet, the paleo diet?
Yeah.
I don't know how with that is. I don't think we need to de-evolve back past cooking. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
No,
but equally, I wouldn't say that it's any better or worse than any choices I make or you make. I just think that if you want to, that you should make decisions about what you eat.
Yeah.
And if making some kind of broad strokes decision is the way you do that, then that's it. You know, the key thing not to do is to live a completely unexamined life with regard to food and just keep putting it in without even thinking about it, you know?
But by the same token, for me, it's not healthy to micromanage everything too much.
No.
It's a balancing. I actually did the paleo.
You got to live life.
I did the paleo for a few weeks, and you do lose a lot of weight, but it's whether it's sustainable, isn't it? It's just once you stop eating carbs and bread, I mean pasta and bread.
Yeah, you're going to lose weight.
You're going to lose weight, yeah.
I watched Trainspotting the other day. Such a good film.
Yeah, and, it's a great film, yeah.
Ewan McGregor to be in that. And you know, don't try this at home, kids, but he lost 2 stone by cutting out carbs and stopping drinking.
Right.
So, you know, but it was managed. He'd have someone telling him what to eat and stuff. But like you say, I mean, if you get to the point where you're getting specific ingredients and additions and supplements arriving in the post and you've got to, you know, there's a website telling you what you're having for dinner. For me, I can't relate to that. You've got to be able to get on with your day, you know. I mean...
you've got to have a blowout every now and again.
Oh, we've got to, you know, address the fact that I'm currently vegan, but I really don't like it to be a big deal. You know, I'm not bothered. I don't mind eating chips, you know what I mean?
Chips are great.
Yeah.
I went the night after training, I went straight around the chip shop. It was fantastic.
When I was little...
the chip butty.
When I was a... same age as my kids are now. I was really into swimming.
Yeah.
I was good at it as well. Yeah. Basically, when I was 5, I had this operation that meant I couldn't go swimming for a year.
Oh.
Yeah. So, when I was 6, when I went back to swimming, we overcompensated. It was like swimming lessons and swimming club.
Swimming
constantly. And by the time I was 8 or 9, they were offering me a place on the Borough squad. And,
wow.
You know, somewhere either from a very perspicacious sense of my personality or a sense of what she could be bothered with, my mum said, no, we're not going to.
Right.
You don't want to go to training 3-4 mornings a week before school, you know. Anyway, so I loved the swimming. I used to go to swimming, advanced swimming, survival, sub-aqua.
Right.
I was in the pool 3-4 nights a week.
Are you telling me you were off floats at this stage?
Well, nearly.
Right. what was your favourite stroke, by the way?
Breaststroke.
Right.
In fact, I'm going on about it like I was brilliant. I was never very good at front crawl.
Right.
Which is what everyone does. But I did. But breaststroke was what I swam for the school and what they wanted me at the squad for. And I'm so terrible at it now, I swim like my nan. But anyway, it was a good swimmer, but, you know, she swam like an old lady, virtually upright. Did you hear that gate?
Head constantly before.
God, that was like in a film when they put the sound through the ears of the people at the UN and they die. Let's run at the middle of the road. Look at this now. We've gotten to Petherton Road. Oh, that car's going that way. I stopped. Here's Paul next to the wonderful autumnal. It's more winter now, isn't it?
It's beautiful, yeah.
Let's run at the middle. Might be a bit slippery, but it'll be nice. So, yeah, so going to the swimming pool, these times you think, oh, fitness here, good stuff. I used to think, say, oh, I'll swim a mile for the lark of it, you know.
Yeah.
Long before I had a
real fitness
commitment to go out for a run or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but do you know what spoiled it all?
Crisps afterwards. Hot
chips.
Chocolate.
It was opposite chips. The chip shop.
Was it right?
Two battered sausages, large right. chips. Pretty much every time.
Fun though.
Oh yeah.
Fun.
With a fish cake, please, on the side.
We used to have just chips and scraps. Chips and scraps.
Yeah, see, I wasn't in the north. You're not allowed that kind of thing outside the north. Chips and scraps and a cat.
Treats, yeah.
And sawdust.
And a pound of salt.
In a balm cake.
Yeah.
What is a balm cake?
I don't know.
Scraps of batter without anything in it, right?
Yeah, just pure batter.
Yes. Oh, yeah, great.
Just poured on top.
Yeah, it's basically
healthy.
Fat with a bit of flour.
Pure fat, yeah.
Kind of thing where when you've been eating it, it feels like someone's been rubbing oil around your mouth.
Didn't do me any. But there's a lot to be said for chips. I do love them, I must say. I very rarely have them, but I've kind of recently rediscovered them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes you get the old oven chips in the big bag.
Yeah.
And the plain ones, you know, they're very simple in terms of their ingredients. You get the crinkle cut ones.
Right.
And you serve up a meal for the kids of, like, sausage, chips and beans or, you know, something in breadcrumbs and peas and oven chips. And there's a real nostalgia to the thing.
They love it, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of want to put Jim will fix it on the TV and
Alphabetti spaghetti. Stick Gary Glitter on the stereo.
Of course,
it's all happening.
When I was having that kind of dinner, I'm talking about the food now, we'd also have had that with a couple of slices of bread and butter.
Yes. Bread and butter always.
Although
I still have them.
Yeah.
For mopping and butties and etc.
Every meal would end
definitely.
With a big thick slice of bread in the gravy.
He still does now. It's fantastic.
It? How do you do that?
Yeah.
It's all this running, isn't it?
We do all the mopping.
Well, the temptation is to sorry.
Whoop, whoop. Just run over an old bloke coming out of the bookies.
He's been betting. Take him down. Hey, let's finish with an actually going through Newington Green since it's so nice. Jamie, all over going back
to his
little house. Yeah,
cheers,
good man.
Bro.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mind you, if he's waving, saying "get on with it," I was in that. You know, let us go.
He accelerated to stop.
Yeah, yeah, and then like to get on the road. You're either letting us cross or you're not. You're not doing it on your terms. So this is a look at Newington Green, the sunshine. Look at the Unitarian Church. Gorgeous. Nice. Look at that. I got a postcard of this somewhere. You see those terrace houses there?
Yeah.
Where we just crossed by. Those are the oldest terraced houses in London.
They're beautiful. That 58. You see the restaurants all over?
56.
56. We used to go there all the time when we lived around.
I've never been there because I wouldn't understand it because I've never been to the first 55.
Yeah. It's hard to relate to unless you have. It's lovely. And there's a Mile High Club.
Yep.
Stuart Lee records all his rantings.
Comedy programmes.
Yeah.
Yep. I met Nick Moran coming out there. Did I tell you that?
No. What, recently?
Yeah, he was... he'd been interviewing criminals, you know.
All right, you're down here, my mate.
I think he'd done a documentary about the guy...
Bad Boys.
The fighter who was in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
What, McLean, was it?
Yeah. Big old bloke who played the doorman.
Yeah, McLean.
Lenny, is it Lenny?
Yeah.
He made a documentary about it. He was in there. He was
lovely bloke, lovely.
Refreshingly
kid.
Honest about how scary all those blokes were.
Yeah, but
yeah, nice guy. It's a bit tasty. Yeah. Oh, nice guy, so we're a bit tasty.
Just violent.
Yeah. Criminals. Ha ha. Let's not glorify it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the most enjoyable run I've had in ages, mate.
What is that?
I just felt really loose and fun and really enjoyed it.
You said that's the most enjoyable run
I've had in ages.
Oh, I thought you said I've ever had.
No.
I thought you slightly overstated that.
Let's keep it in perspective.
Only slightly. Like, just stopping this patch of sunshine, because more and more on this, you know, I've got a lovely house, but this street, you know, it's hard to get nice angles on it. Let's go. Now, we are still after your idiosyncratic marathon tip.
There's a few coming in, which is nice. Okay. More the merrier. Running Commentary Facebook, tell us about tips running marathon.
Yeah.
Things that you've found out beyond books, isn't
yes,
it? That's what
yeah,
we're looking
exactly.
for. Off books.
We can all find out the stuff you're supposed to do. Remember the Action Marathon.
Go for
magazine.
A long run 3 weeks before. We know this.
Yes.
We know this.
Yeah. No, and not just London. You might not have got into London. You might have run the marathon in the past. And also, it's early days. So early on, you know, what do you do when you're training in the winter? What do you do about that? So just let us know and we're going to have a good discussion of that next week. Find us. Find the pictures of this and all the runs on Running Commentary on Facebook. Run Compod on Twitter and Running Commentary on Instagram, and
good luck with it.
Yeah, we
enjoy,
love you.
Enjoy it.
Farewell. Oh wait, I'm going to tell you how far we went. How fast we went.
We were slow actually, but it felt nice.
Oh, you're definitely slow. I'm still not completely fit, but that is okay. Well, let's have the full report. You'll be keen to hear it. We ran for 1 hour and 5 minutes and ran 6.5 miles.
Okay, cool. So that's about 10.5 minute mile pace.
Farewell.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talking, and Rob Deering.